The purpose of Wealth Talk is to educate, inform, and hopefully entertain you on the subject of building your wealth. Wealth Builders recommends you should always take independent financial, tax, or legal advice before making any decisions around your finances.
Welcome to episode 197 of Wealth Talk. My name is Christian Rodwell, the Membership Director for Wealth Builders, joined today by our founder, Mr. Kevin Whelan. Hello, Kevin.
Hi, Chris. Good to be with you again.
Yeah, we are back. And we've got a cracking episode today, or at least we think so anyway. We've been having lots of fun with our preparation for this episode, which is titled Living a 100-Year Life. Big changes ahead.
Well, absolutely. You know, this sort of idea germinated in my mind when my second grandchild was born just a couple of weeks ago. And I was reading something that said children born today can reasonably expect to live to 100. And I sort of stopped and thought, what would a 100-year life look like? How would it impact on all the macro economic things like government and education and work practices and so on? And more fundamentally, because we believe people should take personal empowerment, how would it impact on the micro level, what you do yourself personally, how you educate yourself, how you choose to work, how you choose to educate children? How would you do all that? And it just made me think, what a fascinating area to be talking about the inexorable nature of life expectancy, which goes up around 2 to 3 years every decade. And therefore, most people will be living, you know, what you work at 10 years longer than their grandparents. Now, I don't expect to live to 100, right? I know I look old, but I don't expect to see 100. But, you know, my father died in his 40s and my granddad died in his early 70s. So you know it's coming. And of course, these are average cohort numbers. There are always going to be exceptions to people. But it kind of struck me, how many people over 100 do you know? You don't know many. No. I mean, the Queen would write to you, a king, I guess now, write to you. And in places like Japan, when you reach 100, you get a silver sake bottle.
Nice.
Until they discovered there were so many people reaching 100, they couldn't afford to buy all the silver. So the world is changing inexorably. And the chances of living to 100 at the beginning of the 20th century was 1%. Now it's massively, massively in favor of the average person living to 100. And there's no evidence it's stopping. It will go onwards and upwards. And we probably won't have a debate about how long could that carry on going for. But it's been going on for hundreds of years. Life expectancy keeps going up. So let's talk about what that might mean, not just for you, but what it might mean just as importantly for your children, and how are they going to live that life? Because nobody's teaching this. Nobody's talking about this. You know, there are some academics talking about it, but there's really nothing coming out of the government, nothing coming out of any financial institution at all. So why don't we talk about it? Before we do that, though, you got a competition to announce.
We do, indeed. We got some competition winners, Kevin. Just a few weeks ago, we launched the new Wealth Builders website, wealthbuilders.co.uk, and we asked and invited our listeners to go and spend a few minutes, take a look around, see everything that we've got available. And whilst doing that, we created a competition. And thank you for everyone who entered. And I'm pleased to announce our three winners, which we've just randomly generated, Kevin, online. And our three winners who are winning a free wealth map strategy call with myself. So that's a Zoom meeting where we map out all of your wealth on one page, like you've never seen it before. And then in addition to that, to take that map and have a 30-minute debrief session with you, Kevin. So three people will win that prize. And the first winner is Stuart Bowker. Our second winner is Phil Richards. And our third winner is David Fogarty. Congratulations to all of you.
Well, thanks to anybody who took a fresh look at the website, and we made some changes and improvements there. I'm going to go back to that website. I'm going to write 100-year life in it, because I think fundamentally changes the way how you build your wealth, doesn't it? If you think about the old style, you know, the, I suppose one would call it a full-time education into full-time work into full-time retirement, kind of 1900s onwards, really. You know, that's all gone, isn't it? Really, that sort of style of just having three stages in your life, when average life expectancy was 70 then, you would kind of work for 40 years and you might live a decade and that's about your whack. Mm. But if people still expect to retire at 65 and you live to 100, the maths will never, ever add up that you could do that.
Yeah.
And when you couple that with decreasing state pensions, certainly pushing them back years and years and years now, who knows what they'll be for my grandchildren, maybe not even there. So one can't rely on that. That's what financial independence is all about, isn't it? Independence of any form of pension arrangements that you're relying on or hoping for, and hoping isn't a strategy for a long life. You can live life without money when you're young, but you can't do it when you're old. You just simply can't cope with it because you don't want to work for 30, 40. Ooh, hang on a minute. Let's just do the maths, Chris. 30 or 40 years, most people kind of know they're going to work that long. But if I asked 100 people in a room and said, I've got some fantastic news, you're all going to live to 100. You have smiley faces, right? He said, what would that life look like? What would you do? What would you build into that? How would you design that life? There'd be lots of excitement. There'd be lots of buzz. Maybe it'd be interesting to see what our listeners would do, Chris, with that thought, just academically speaking, you know, what would you do in a life that you knew was going to last 100 years? But as soon as you recognize that you've got to pay for that life, I said, well, instead of working 40 years, you've now got to work 60 years. You've now got to work till you're 80 to fund that extra 20 years, because previously it was 8 to 10. Now you're doubling that. And given that many, many of our current cohort of children are in fact starting later, I mean, gap years and the like, with student debt, you know, we know that the average age of the first-time buyers being pushed back and back, the average age of people getting married going back, the average age of people having children going back, which means if they follow the same pattern as perhaps your parents did or you're following, they won't have enough money. So you either have to live frugally in retirement, or you have to delay it, or you have to build assets, Chris. And that's the key message. If you build assets, you can live 200 years, because the definition of an asset, something that works without you, puts money in your bank account while you're asleep, and you can pass that money on to the next generation, good causes, but it will support you forever. And that's almost reinforcing the point that wealth builders can live 100 years. But if you don't do that, you've got some challenges, and the government ain't going to solve it. The school system ain't going to solve it. The workplace HR departments can't solve it for you. Nothing will really solve this, Chris, but you, and uniquely you. And if you think about this idea of cohorts, right? So in the three stages of the life that I mentioned, historically, you know, people with final salary pensions, where are they? Gone. State pensions got less. Stock markets got more volatile. Historically, when people were in full-time education, full-time work, full-time retired, you kind of didn't need to think about much, and everybody moved together. So all the people that you went to work with finished at the same time. It's like a cohort. Everybody moved in lockstep almost. Everybody's marching together towards retirement. But if you live to 100 years, you can't do that. You have to live a unique life. You've got to purposely design your life. And if you do that, you're going to have relationships of all different types, and there won't be anybody who's entirely in sync with you anymore. So the need for relationships, I think, is going to be massively different. The need for community, the need for like-minded people and being connected, to me, becomes paramount when you think about designing a new life, because you need to have role models, mentors and guides, people on the same journey, all at different ages. I mean, if you look around in wealth builders, we've got people in their early 30s and people in their 60s, and that's what I think is going to happen. And that's great, because you get that rich mix of different perspectives, not just wealth dynamics, but age perspective and all sorts of different perspectives that I think makes wealth building so much fun. Anyway, I'm rattling on about this because you can already tell.
It's
out of my mind, Chris.
Yeah, and mine too. You talk about those cohorts, though, Kevin. It makes me think about the baby boomers, right? A common term that we're all aware of. And, you know, perhaps that's where there's, you know, a shift of wealth, where those baby boomers have all come in that period of time, where now that will change. You know, there will not be that same movement, that same kind of form that you've talking about over the last 20, 30, 40 years. I've almost remember when I was doing my Skate the Rat Race meetings that I would talk about three chunks of like working life. For most people, they start around age 20. So like these 15-year chunks, yeah. 20 to 35, 35 to 50, 50 to 65. Right. And, you know, that it's okay to change. You know, you don't have to necessarily do the same thing for that whole period of time. And I myself got to age 35 and did a drastic U-turn on what I had done for the last 15 years. But with people living to 100, people will want career breaks. They will want sabbaticals. They won't be in a job as long as perhaps they have been.
Yeah, well, just think about it. I mean, look what's changed. Like, if we talk about living life for 100 years, what's changed in the last 100 years? I mean, everything. Electricity, running water, airplanes, the internet, you know, you just so many things that are fascinating and invigorating to make our life more usable, more friendly, more enjoyable. All of that stuff has happened in the last 100 years. We can't possibly predict what's going to happen in the next 100 years. I mean, I was reading something that said, you know, we've all had technological improvements, you know, make a huge difference in the quality of our life. Okay. But what about AI? You know, we had a bit of fun, didn't we, a few weeks ago on Kev versus the chatbot or whatever, just to see how that worked. But, you know, I read that AI is getting so capable of diagnosing illnesses that in the future they expect that a molecular level AI that you plug into will absolutely amend and physically change your body to allow you to live longer. Right? At the molecular level. So we're talking about things we can't even dream about will happen. How do you prepare for something like that? You can't, of course you can't, but it means being personal and flexible, that as you see changes, you react to them and you seek the insights of other people who are seeing things from a slightly different perspective. And that's what I think is a journey we're already suggesting people go on. But to me, it's reinforced the need to go on this, almost expecting to have to change and looking forward to it, as opposed to fearing it, as so many people do when they make those transitions. Often because, you know, in the old three-stage life, often people got forced to change, didn't they? You know, they were in their 50s and then they got made redundant, and then they had to take a lower paid job because their skills were redundant. They didn't have the foresight to invest in themselves and turn some of that skill that they've got to learn new skills. And whether you do that just to extend your working life and almost stop doing what you were doing, but do something else. And the doing something else bridges the gap between a pension that won't sustain you and the life that you need to live in terms of finances. That's definitely going to be a way, I think, for the average person who's not really putting a lot of time and energy into it, just reacting and almost saying, hey, I can't get a full-time job at what I was earning before, so I'll temporarily take this job that's closer to home or that is less stressful, less demanding, so that I can get X thousand a year because my pension won't give me enough. You know, well, I'm sure we'll get a chance to talk about pensions because the world of pensions needs to be turned on its head, and it's not being, because there's so much self and vested interest and profit in keeping things the way they are. And there's a big danger, I think, coming. Let me talk about that one, Chris, right? You'll have to forgive me today. You will have to, but you know, I'm hoping that some of these points register and you go, it's not just an old geezer who's not 100, but rambling. Some of these things are quite fundamental, right? Baby boomers, right? You just talked about baby boomers, born after the war, obviously. I'm a baby boomer. In 2030, Chris, not long, every single baby boomer will be over the age of 65. Every single one of them. There'll be nobody left in the baby boomer generation less than what was normally regarded as retirement age, whether it's in the UK or the US, for example. Now, what does that mean? It means that when they reach retirement, they start doing things anyway. And one of those things they start is tapping into their pension. And here's a big number. What is it now? 20% of the population, working population of baby boomers. And in America, there's a law which applies to pensions, which is when you reach 70 and a half years of age, right? 70.5, don't know why, but that's what it is. You must convert your pension to an annuity, right? Mm-hmm. Now, if you imagine, not many years' time, everybody who's got a pension in America has got to buy an annuity. What's going to happen to the stock market? It's got to tumble, yeah, because when all that money comes out, the market must react to that. And so natural law of supply and demand is there won't be enough people to buy, so the prices will tumble. Think about something else. When the three-stage life was in existence and state pensions came in, which came in the 1900s, early 1900s, there were always more workers and taxpayers to pay for the pensions of the people who retired. For the first time in history, it's not going to happen, which means there's no fund for the state pension. There's no pot. There's no government investment. They're not taking any of their treasury revenues and putting that money to work in some kind of fund. It's called a pay-as-you-go system. You pay in when you're younger and you take the money out when you're older. And who pays? The current taxpayer. So if there aren't enough current taxpayers to pay, what's going to happen? There's an inevitable squeeze mathematically, and only three things can happen, right? One is the retirement date for state pension goes up. Two, the retirement income falls or gets means tested so that it's no longer a universal benefit. Three, I suppose they could scrap it, which they won't do, political suicide, or you have to put all the taxes up, which is politically an unacceptable position to be in. So no government is really talking about this. You know, they keep kicking it down the line because that's what governments do. Their focus is always electioneering, isn't it, within 4 to 8 years. So they never see past 4 to 8 years. And in order to do this discussion justice, you've got to see decades into the future and not 4 to 8 years in the future. So it's a big one, Chris. And, you know, with all the baby boomers coming out of the market, state pension, can't afford it. and then you've got to turn your pension income, the pot you've got, into income, right? When the market's gone down, you haven't saved enough because you've had student debt, or you started workplace later, so you haven't got enough money and you couldn't possibly save enough to get a decent income. And what's a decent income? You know, even the best pension in the country pays 2/3. Now, hang on a minute. Are you telling me I've got to work 60 years in my life and I have to cut my income in retirement by a third? That's the best I can get. Pensions just don't work. You've got to turn your pension into an asset builder, which is what we try and encourage people to do, which is why we're such a big fan of the SaaS, because it gives you options to be able to build assets today, which can support your life in the future. But at the same time, of course, all funded with tax relief you can get now, and you can bring your kids in when they're 18. So you can make them part of your plan, not just you planning for you. If your kids are going to live to 100, which chances are some of them will, then don't you need to think about how to help them? So a lot of people tell us when they come to Wealth Builders, Chris, with their pensions and other assets, the legacy is such an important part of what they do. But how do you leave a great legacy if you're living a long life and you haven't got enough money to secure your own oxygen mask? What will you do? You leave a worse one, which means your kids are going to be in difficulty. And I think there's things we can do about it. So any thoughts from you while I've been, chewing the fat on this very, very big subject?
Yeah, well, it comes down to what we're constantly saying, that, you have to have a plan. And a plan when you're at a younger age, when you've got time on your side. And we've talked before, Kevin, you did the calculations on becoming a pension millionaire just by putting in a couple of £100 per month into, your son or daughter or grandchildren's account.
Yeah, for grandkids, yeah.
Yeah. Can achieve that. So the compounding effect of starting early is even more important here, I think.
And of course, the evidence is people are starting later. So it's only the parents and the grandparents who can help their kids start sooner.
Mm.
And how do you do that when you know you're taking money out of your own pot? So it's a really tough thing, and it demands that personal thought and a personal plan. And do you remember I've said to you before that if you had 100 kids in a room, little kids like 5 or 6, right? And the room was full of Lego, when they all calmed down, when they'd seen all the Lego and got excited and yous and ours had calmed down, I said, I want you to build a house. You get 100 different houses. And they'd all be different colors, different combinations, different thoughts, different starts. You've got to look at your 100-year life like that, because you're going to build your life your way with what you want for your health, your family, your situation, your preferences, your values. All of those things now become so richly embedded in what you choose to do for yourself. It makes the responsibility tougher. But boy, it makes it exciting, doesn't it? To think you can design your own life, rather than be at the mercy of what's happening in the stock market, what's happening with the government, all those things you can't control. Just focus on the things you can. What you can do is think about this and see, what kind of life would you choose? Would you choose to have a 50% of your income in retirement, or 30% or 25%? Not a life I would choose. And how long does it take to build financial independence? 5 to 7 years, probably. Most people. So you can build that independence and almost know you've got your life sorted, and then you can help get your kids' life sorted if you pay some attention to building your wealth. And it's fascinating to me. I know we did some feedback, Chris, and we teach people how to become financially independent. We charge a fee of $3,000 in year one and half price for subsequent years. And when we ask for feedback, people say it's too expensive, right? I can't afford £3,000. And then £1,500 a year for the next period of time. Let's say they spend £9,000. They're completely financially independent after 5 years, and it's cost them £9,000. Oh, I can't afford it. It's too expensive. Jeez, I mean, try and live 100 years.
Yeah.
And stretch that out when you could be independent for, in your 40s or early 50s. So anyway.
It's
definitely got me thinking about how we could do a better job at Wealth Builders into encouraging people to think like this and to design a better life rather than be at the mercy of somebody else's plan.
Yeah. Let me pause you there for one moment, Kevin, because we've had some more reviews coming in on Trustpilot this week. And I'd like to read one out just to say thank you to Lee this week, who's taken a few minutes to say, I originally joined Wealth Builders regarding setting up a SaaS, to which the team really have helped. On advice to investigate into an old pension I had, and he's put brackets, my estimate was it was worth maximum £30,000. It turned out it was now worth over £190,000, which went nicely into my SaaS, and I was amazed. I am now on the Wealth Builders Academy program to see what the other gems are that I can learn from the team on my wealth journey. 10 out of 10 so far, exclamation mark.
Well, that's good. And anybody who, you know, yes, life is going to change. We've seen interest rate changes. We've seen 800 mortgage deals pulled in the last week. There's always going to be those things that will put us under stress and pressure. But the more you can react to that and surround yourself with other people on the same journey, the more likely it is that you'll be able to see your way through this, as opposed to kind of, oh, woe is me, and not knowing where to turn, which I think is what happens to most people, Chris, doesn't it? Any comments from you on any other areas of this, living this 100-year life might make us think a bit more?
Well, I think we possibly have already touched on the different areas that this might affect, Kevin. So we've talked about work-life balance, I think, but please add any additional points that come to mind. We've talked about, you know, the education period, the pattern of education, the career patterns, people taking career breaks, retiring later, getting married, starting families, buying a new home, settling down. So all of these things, you know, so it's there's no area that's untouched really with this. And question that, you know, as I was doing the research, that just really struck me was, you know, what would your 100-year-old self say to you right now?
You're doing all right, Kev.
But I think for everyone listening, you know, just ponder on that question. You know, some of us perhaps, you know, you talk about very often, Kevin, you know, the catalyst, which, you know, was all important to you, and everyone needs a catalyst. Sometimes we're head down, you know, doing what we do. And I talk about Escape the Rat Race being on that hamster wheel, right? Going round and round and round. And the pandemic was a massive kind of, you know, massive kind of bolt, wasn't it, for many people to stop. They were forced to stop and actually reflect that the commute, you know, just that pace of life could be different. And actually, they wanted it to be different. And
I think some of our Wealth Builder members absolutely responded to that and made a decision that they would use that sort of more control of their time to build their wealth assets. And many people come to mind as I think about that, who've made that transition. And let's take that word, Chris, right? So transition, right? Transition is moving through different stages. In that kind of three stage, you had two transitions, right? You went from education into work, transition number one. You went from work to retirement, transition number two. But now you're going to have so many of them. I think there's going to be many more exploring transitions when people get to a certain point and go, you know, I am going to take that sabbatical. I'm going to take some time out and reassess, reappraise where I'm going. And I think that'll be a transition. There'll be definitely transitions as you learn new skills and you take some time out. We know that often people take that time out when they're busy with work, Chris. They'll take some time out in wealth building for sure, into learning new things. But they do it alongside the job. So they, for a period of time, they turn the recreation time into recreation time. So they're looking at themselves and saying, hey, I'll put up with this for a year of working weekends and evenings, provided it's going to make a difference to my life. And that can happen. So that's a transition. We're seeing escaping the rat race as a transition, moving from one form of employment to running a business, building assets as a type of business. So I think there's going to be much more periods of people going through transition and welcoming that. And another way to think about transitions, Chris, as bridges, a bridge between one place where you are now, one place where you want to get to. And the quickest way to cross a bridge is not just the straight line that we know, but most people don't have a straight line because they don't have a path to follow, but is to see that some people are ahead of you. And if you're in a community, they can help you and show you the path. And equally, you can enjoy that transition for yourself and want to help somebody else. So you've got this vision that I've had and shared this before. I don't know whether I've shared on a podcast, but almost like a wealth builder bridge is one where, on the one hand, you're reaching out, you have the humility to ask for that help, and you're reaching a hand forward saying, please help me, I'm willing to accept the help. And sometimes people feel a difficulty with that, and I'll touch on something on that in just a second. And then a hand reached out, extended behind them to say, hey, I'm willing to help you. And the point I was going to make that about those transitions is every time you go through a transition, you take a new identity. And that new identity you have to be comfortable with. There's so many people, they have locked in an identity to who they had as a job. And it makes it difficult for them to see themselves with a new identity. So being willing to do that, and a transition, if done well, turns into transformation. And when you transform, you become completely comfortable in your new skin, in all aspects of what that means. So I think that's another aspect of that. So working with other people who have been there and done that to help you rather than just doing it on your own.
Yeah.
That's really, wherever you get that support, wherever you get that community, wherever you get that help, find and connect to other people because I think that's going to be the fastest, safest, most enjoyable way to transition into a wealthier life, even if it's not a longer life.
Yeah, and just to make it really obvious for how to get in touch with us, how to speak to our team, take that first step, find out, how we can help you, if we can help you, is to go to wealthbuilders.co.uk/discovery call. You can book in a free 15-minute call and, just start that conversation. And that's definitely something that, we offer every week, Kevin. And just another way of helping our members who might be interested to learn more about the SAS pension, something that's come up a couple of times today, is to jump on the next webinar that we're doing as well. And that's on Tuesday, the 20th of June. And normally run the webinars for about 90 minutes. And that starts at 7:30 p.m. in the evening. And it's Discover a New Source of Funding for Property or Business. So it's for people who are building, obviously, their wealth in those two areas, Kevin. Got to be business owners to have a SAS. But if you're interested, jump on that webinar, register by heading to wealthbuilders.co.uk/SAS webinar. That's S-S-A-S. Webinar, all one word.
That's always a fascinating one. And the thing that I like most, now I'm going to say two things, I'll bookend that. The two things I like most about SAS and why I call it a bookend is, one, it's about now. Every pension other than SAS is all about the future. You hope one day, someday, things are going to work out. Whereas SAS, you can use the money now. You can build assets today. You can't do that in a conventional pension. The other thing is legacy. If you normally, a pension either dies with you, partly dies with you, or if you haven't done a great job, you run out of money. You don't have anything left to leave. Whereas the SAS invites or can invite your children, not children as in kids, but at 18 over, not necessarily bang at 18, but in their 20s even, and they can become part of a family trust fund, which will support the wealth of the next generation to support that longer life. And all the income they receive from that, completely tax-free. They'll never pay tax on it. So I think it's incumbent on us to look at these new ideas and just be curious about them. And that's all I can encourage anybody, just to be curious, because that curiosity encourages that open-mindedness. So be curious out there, guys and girls, and just be open to listening to other ideas and just see yourself as that person who was just thinking about that 100-year life, either for you or for the next generation, and how you might want to pass on some lessons either to yourself or to others. So this is not, by the way, Chris, science fiction. It isn't. This is science fact. And the only science fiction that I would share with you is the old quote from Dr. Spock, which is live long and prosper. You know? That's all you can do is hope you live long, but prosper by building wealth independently. I've rambled enough, Chris.
No, it's been a good one. And we record all of these podcasts on video. So the video goes live in our Facebook group, our free Facebook community. So if you're not already a member, do hunt us down and request to join. And please do comment on today's episode. You know, we'd love to hear your thoughts around this topic of living a 100-year life. And of course, this really leads into the Wealth Builders for Families program very much, Kevin. You know, this will be at the heart of the message, I think, now moving forward.
I think it has to be, because that realization I got from, you know, my own granddaughter, which is crumbs, you know, that's a responsibility now. I mean, they don't know what's going to happen. So the responsibility is for us to try and prepare them. And no parent or grandparent wants to have unprepared children for the stages of their life. And, you know, financial responsibility is one of those. But of course, we're not qualified to talk about health, and we're not qualified to talk about, you know, work practices and how HR departments deal with this or how governments deal with this. But we can do what we can deal with. As I said earlier on, we can deal at the micro level. It means our personal economy. We can take steps to influence and hopefully control that, and then teach that, those skills, to the next generation and the generations to follow.
So thank you, as always, for listening to today's episode. If you enjoyed it and you think someone else might enjoy it as well, please hit the share button, send it to them. And we would love to spread the wealth building message as far and wide as we possibly can.
Well, certainly anybody who would like to live to 100.
So thanks for that, Kevin. Stimulating thoughts there. And we'll be catching up same time, same place next week.
We will indeed, Chris. And until then, my friend, see ya.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. Don't forget that we are constantly updating our resources inside the Wealth Builders membership site to help you create, build, and protect your wealth. Head over to wealthbuilders.co.uk/membership right now for free access. That's wealthbuilders.co.uk/membership.